Movies.
So anyway, John, that's what we're doing. What the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, here's the deal. I was contacted by a podcast company, and I was asked to write a theme song for this podcast called None of This Is Real, about these two dudes who time travel, basically, are stuck in a time loop, and they have to watch movies, and I'm realizing right now, and I'm freaking out a little bit, that this is you.
Wait, what?
I don't know how this happened.
Hold on. Is this a fucking conspiracy? Like, is this go, like, it's not just the room, it's like the whole institution?
Adam, this might go straight to the top.
Right to the top! This is not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing at this.
What's worse is you don't think that real is a punny R-E-E-L, do you?
No, oh. It absolutely is. I saw the brief. No, it's a pun. And also, what's worse is that I've been pulled into your nightmare.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, for you, this is... So,
I don't know how to break this to you gently, but it is December 6th, 1986.
86. I was born in 87.
Oh, so good news. You will not be able to run into yourself. This is a concern that I have. I am constantly worried about running into myself.
What do you mean we're stuck in 1986?
Well,
I don't understand.
So if you might be abreast of this based on the fact that you've...
He's a human.
you've apparently recorded a theme for a podcast like this, but we're going to have to watch a movie.
Right.
From now. 1986.
To try and get us home to 2021.
Okay.
And hopefully...
There's a movie theater right across the street. It takes, like, I don't know, a couple minutes to get there.
And then I'm just teleported home.
Well, hopefully all three of us will be teleported home.
Yeah, it'd be lovely if we could all go. Evie did...
But
well, we don't know where Evie went.
You're saying, basically, I'm stuck in your time loop.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Wow, I might find my mom. Dad, I might just go find them out.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was like, is this like an alternate timeline where your parents aren't with us anymore? But I was like,
no, I mean,
sense.
Like, I might as well just travel to Minneapolis and find my mom.
We don't know where we are. We could be in Minneapolis.
We don't know where we are.
No.
Wow, you guys are idiots.
It's fair.
Well... Should we go see what's playing at the weird movie theater?
I mean, I guess.
It's 1986, pop quiz hot shots. The Iran-Contra affair is happening.
Whoop, whoop.
Can y'all give me a summary of what the Iran-Contra affair is?
Contra.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there was a video game called Contra.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Iran got not enough copies. So there was a whole
big controversy yeah. Around.
Yes.
Is that right?
I feel like, John, this is up your alley.
No, to be honest, I don't know anything about...
Okay, so it's essentially... So the U.S. National Security Council, basically, the affair here is that they've begun shredding documents implicating
us,
U.S., in selling weapons to Iran.
To Iran, not to Afghanistan.
Wait.
Because Russia was funding Afghanistan.
Wait.
Okay.
And then giving the proceeds to right-wing Contras in Nicaragua.
Oh!
What?
Wrong place.
Right. This is the Nicaragua thing.
Yeah.
Got it. I knew there was...
To defeat, you know, the specter of Marxism. And
right.
And this is what the video game's about.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I see.
That action-packed... Document shredding video game
with the bouncy aliens doing jumping jacks.
Shred faster.
Cool.
And isn't it Iran?
Oh yeah, sorry, I mispronounced
it. Iran.
Actually, Iran.
Probably. Movie theater is playing two sci-fi films for the first time.
Hey, by the way, John, we should tell you this is the weirdest movie theater we have ever come across. It's always a double feature. Or not double feature, but featuring two movies. And it's batshit. Like, it'll be a blockbuster and a French surrealist movie. Or it will be... It's never consistent.
You don't know what you're going to get.
No.
Never.
This week, it is a movie called Solar Babies. and another movie called Star Trek 4.
I've seen Star Trek 4!
I've been wanting to see that one.
It's the one with the whales.
Yeah, the one with the whales.
I figured that... I'm actually a little bit surprised, John, that you've not seen Star Trek. But I'm not surprised that, Adam, you have.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
So that I guess is weird news for us because, John, the thing with this time machine is it's like based on like collective memory, new experiences. So it's actually more likely that we'll get home if we all see the same thing.
Although
fresh.
Now that I know that this might go all the way to the top, that might be a lie.
Well, yeah,
I'm just saying
we might all be
anything.
Locked in a closet in 2021 and
could
never left the entire time.
We're hallucinating this whole thing.
So anyway. Solar Babies? Is this the kids movie?
I have never heard of this.
No.
You guys know it?
I definitely have not heard of Solar Babies.
It looks like roller skates?
Or roller blades or something.
It's gotta be roller blades,
extreme
right?
Sport has to be roller blades.
I don't really understand what's happening and why anybody would name a movie Solar Babies.
Solar Babies! Okay, let's see Solar Babies.
Alright.
Really?
Yeah.
They drained ponds, streams, covered the lakes, and even the oceans, so no water could evaporate into the air. They caused the drought, so they can control our lives. It can't be.
There has got to be a place to go.
From a distant star, a powerful force will come to Earth. They call this force Bodai.
Where's the sphere?
They took it to the Protectorate Aqua Bunker. It's where they control the water. Jason, they're gonna destroy it.
If we go, we're not coming back.
We're gonna get Bodai.
It's unanimous.
We go.
Oh my God.
I really wanted to like this, and because I...
That was a film.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't even know Can if we could call it a film.
We picked the loser of the two movies. I'm pretty certain of that. So Solar Babies. Let's get this out of the way. Solar Babies is the name of the team
playing an unknown sport.
Right.
A never named sport.
Never named, never explained.
No, it's named.
Is
skateball.
It? So when they called it I totally missed.
There is a poster in their dormitory
there
that says skateball.
And that's some real world building.
Yeah, there is. I will say the production design on this was intense.
The movie?
Yeah.
Sure. No, that's great.
They put a lot of work into the production design.
They did, which is what makes it so sad.
Yeah.
The sport, right? Can we talk about the sport?
Yes, please.
Because they don't explain the rules.
No.
It opens with this fierce match, and nobody has any idea what's going on.
Hold on. They don't explain the rules and then immediately throw out the unexplained rules.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which just basically means we can't enjoy the sport. We don't know who's winning. Right. We don't know how you win.
Nor is it consequential for the rest of the film.
Right. Well, neither are the rollerblades.
skates.
Because that's a big disappointment to
roller
me.
Skates.
It's skates, not blades. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. As soon as he used the toe bumper thing, I was like, are you fucking kidding
me? You cannot stop in skates in a cool way. So anytime this group of kids has to stop and they all just kind of go like, and slide a little bit farther than they're supposed to.
Man. Okay, so that's the name of the team.
That's the name of the team and
Solar
the name
Babies.
Of the movie.
Which, to be fair, everybody thinks is a bad name.
Yes.
Like, nobody likes the name.
And we're never really given the etymology.
No.
Okay, so this movie was directed by Alan Johnson.
He directed anything else?
It's his second and final film.
God, I hope so.
The first being To Be or Not to Be, which is a Mel Brooks film. Mel Brooks is the executive producer of this movie. To the extent that this film is notable for anything, It is that Mel Brooks put in $1.5 million of his own money into this.
For this?
Uh-huh. And then the movie kept getting delayed in production. It started taking longer. It started getting bigger. And those delays caused Mel Brooks to take out a second mortgage on his home.
No.
And he ended up ponying up a total of $15 million.
No.
Yeah.
Like in 1986.
Yeah. And this movie did not do well at all, making it so that cumulatively he lost probably about $9 million on this movie personally.
Wow.
Is that why I know there's a massive gap before Robin Hood Men in Tights. Is this why?
He was taking a bath that whole time.
When did Spaceballs come out?
Ooh.
Does anybody know?
I want to say 84, and I don't know if I'm pulling. We can look up.
87.
87. Totally wrong.
So, no gap.
Oh, wait, yeah, because that is a Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah.
But they might have been in production with that already.
And this is just like, he might not have been producing Spaceballs.
Right.
I think he did produce.
Did he?
I think it is. But I don't honestly remember.
This is all wild speculation.
Yep. But that's fucking nuts, though.
It is a crazy loss. So we're in a post-apocalyptic future. The year is 2041.
Is it?
I thought we have a new way of measuring time.
Oh yeah, wasn't like year like 12 or something like
that? Yeah, that's what I thought. They threw out some really small numbers.
The year is 42 or something.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well we clearly like we've got a new.
I wonder why I have written down 2041.
Yeah, I thought it was like year 18 or something.
Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, this is the like classic your sci-fi opening for a dystopia where you need some narration to get you to why we're in the dystopia.
And they didn't really explain it, but it becomes pretty clear pretty fast that water is nowhere. Like water's a problem.
I mean, that's talked about, right?
Did they actually talk about it?
Yeah. I mean, they do.
There's an opening narration is what I was.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're told that there's like a paramilitary organization called the Eco Protectorate.
Yes.
That is governing everything.
I just want to know who wrote this movie.
Yeah.
I don't think they worked again.
Well, we'll get to that because I have a bit there. And we are introduced to some orphan children.
Yeah, but it's clear they've been stolen from their family.
Yes. They're not orphans so much as they've been.
It's like a child slave.
Orphan has been redefined in the future.
That's right, because they did say orphans, and they're very clearly not orphans.
Right. However, they all, basically except for one, are teens. You know, correct. Like this is supposed to be all children, but primarily they're all the same age except for this one kid.
Which is never explained.
No, I you know, now that you say that, because when they go back to the quote unquote orphanage, it is literally just all like teens and 20-year-olds.
Yep.
And then Daniel.
Right. Yeah. And so
I should say when like the introduction to Daniel, I was hopeful at this point, like with all the like flap turning on the lights and like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, okay.
These kids are living in these air quotes orphanages, created by the Protectorate.
Yep.
And ostensibly
police academy.
Yeah. And they're like being indoctrinated.
They do say like indoctrination like in a positive way. They say like indoctrination will happen in like 20 minutes. You're like, I don't know if you want to use indoctrination when you're like, say what you're doing.
And it also seems like the indoctrination portion is largely a failure. There's exactly one kid who is stoked on the indoctrination.
Okay. A failure in the sense of the story, but not a failure in the sense that it might have been the best part of the movie.
Oh, sure.
Like, I actually thought it was the most effective scene they had.
Sure.
It was really deeply uncomfortable.
Oh, it's deeply uncomfortable. I just, I think the indoctrination itself seems to be not working.
Yeah, that didn't work.
No, but like there are many good ideas in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a good idea in the sense of like
tried and true ideas, in fact, that have worked very well in other movies.
No, they worked really hard to make this not work. It starts with an underground game of skateball.
Yes. Again, so
the
Daniel
Solar Babies versus the
Go ahead.
But can we rewind to the narration?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because it ends with, are the legends true? Who knows? That's literally what the narrator says. Who knows? Like, he doesn't care.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody cares if the legends are true.
The narration just trails off.
I couldn't tell, like, because they were talking about some sort of grouping of people that sounded vaguely Native American / like Spanish. Mm-hmm. But it sounded like a racial slur to me.
I mean, there is a questionable character in this film.
Oh, is it?
There are at least two questionable characters in this film.
But like,
it's the Chigani.
It sounds like a racial slur to me. Yeah. Can we say that?
Mm-hmm. Also, their camp looks like Burning Man 86.
100%.
Illegal skateball, unsanctioned.
I will also say Burning Man is much more structurally sound than their camp.
The kid, Daniel,
yeah.
We've not actually been introduced to the older orphans yet, so we'll wait for their introductions.
Fair enough.
The kid, Daniel, has to flip on all the electricity for this essentially bowl.
Yeah.
Like skate bowl.
That has what looks like a basket with a hat on it.
It looks like a Frisbee golf.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you call it. Hole.
Goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then with like one of those like gachapon
things.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Gachapon like circular things. And then a blade at the bottom that wings the ball in a random direction.
And so the game is a combination of lacrosse and roller hockey. Kind of.
Yeah, those janky hook things.
Yeah, you have like lacrosse sticks-ish, and you're on skates.
Yes.
In like roller hockey gear-ish, but you kind of just look like a catcher in baseball. And so that pole in the center releases the ball,
yep.
But it's also the goal.
Yep.
It seems like that is the easiest possible place to put a goal,
yes.
Right? Like this game does not seem difficult.
No, and also when they scored, it seemed effortless.
Yes. because the goal's just right there.
Just get it on top.
This is also shown as like this rebellious thing to do.
Well, that's the thing is it seems like it sounds like there is an official capacity in which where you can play, that they have a place in the orphanage that teams can play.
Yeah.
But this is an unsanctioned game outside the orphanage
that they've been set up to go play, though, because they're playing this team called the Scorpions, who
we never see
is
again.
Like, yeah, no,
it's them like one guy.
Yeah. It's like the Scorpions is the team that is like funded by the government, I guess.
Well, by
they're
the police. Like
they're the e-cop.
Team. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're trying to lure the kids out, I guess, maybe to
get in trouble,
capture them or get in trouble or something. There's no reason for this.
No. That's literally that's the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no explanation of that. There's also no explanation of the tunnels, caves that they escape back into to get back into.
Right.
No, I don't know how they got back into the orphanage using these tunnels.
No. The orphans are Jason.
Jason was the guy.
Tara. Spelled T-E-R-R-A. It's important. Earth shit. Rabbit.
Oh, Rabbit.
Our token black guy.
Metron.
Or Buzzkill.
And Tug. And then the much younger deaf kid, Daniel.
Let us just say, it is not clear that he is A, deaf.
Nope.
And B, that the headset he is wearing somehow helps him. The headset that just looks like
he's wearing headphones.
I thought he was listening to music.
Yes,
totally.
It was like, oh, he's an 80s kid wearing headphones.
Mm-hmm. And so the skateball game gets broken up.
Wait, we didn't talk about Darstar, who is spying on them while they play.
I forgot that Darstar is what
there is. Yeah, there's this other lurking character.
This is definitely a problematic character.
Yeah. Named Darstar.
I was excited when the owl landed. Let me just say,
have y'all seen the HBO show Prophet?
No.
This is a weird like 90s like Twin Peaks era, like, wannabe show.
Okay.
That combined, like, Twin Peaks and Wall Street. It lasted for, I think, one season.
Okay.
Anyways, this guy plays the main character, Jim Profit, which was throwing me off the entire time.
Oh, he's also
like a smarmy businessman.
He's also one of the main people in Heroes, right?
The no clue.
NBC show from the 2000s.
He looks like, I thought I recognized him, but mm-hmm. I don't know from where.
Yeah. So Darstar's always creeping around. He's like always just shown. He's not a part of the group. He is in the orphanage.
Yeah, but he's also like vaguely Native American.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a wizard.
Apparently.
Of some kind. Like, minor or shaman-y. Yeah.
And he's got a pet owl.
Who I believe is the best character of the entire film, and we will get to that grievance.
I don't disagree.
Skateball game gets broken up by the government forces who lured them there in the first place, I guess.
Like, I don't understand why they broke it up.
Me neither.
Okay.
But they do yell, E-cops!
They do.
Yeah. Like the E-cops are here. Yeah.
Which throughout the entire movie, every time they'd say E-cops, I was like,
And our heroes scatter and appear to mostly get away.
They yell, use the caves.
Yes.
Hide in the caves.
Yeah.
And these like very janky police vehicles just can't fit.
No.
And so they don't pursue.
Right. And we focus specifically on Daniel, who ducks into one of these caves. And then there's a weird incident with a mine cart.
Yeah, he like clips a thing and like, so the mine cart starts rolling.
Yeah.
Knocks a hole in the wall.
And there's like this glowing presence in a pool.
Yep.
And Daniel finds this mysterious orb.
Bodai.
And I tried to keep track of how many miracles Bodai performs in this film. And I believe there are two. And the first one happens right out of the gate, which is it cures his hearing.
Which is this is the point that I discovered that Daniel had been deaf because he said, yes. You cured my deafness.
Right.
And starts yelling, I can hear, I can really hear.
Yep.
Which is good news because his headset is broken.
Yeah.
In the like mine accident.
Which the mine accident, if from his perspective, is he tipped over.
Right. Yeah, but no, thinking that like he was just listening to tunes, it's originally just like, oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
We don't know.
He's got to get go to like
his entire
Radio Shack
apparatus.
To get a new one.
Totally. So it restores his hearing.
He then sneaks back to the locker room and shoves it in a box.
The locker room is what you're calling there. Isn't this like their dorm?
No, it's in like a clubhouse. It's like locker room.
It's like a hideout.
Okay. Yeah.
It's definitely a protected space.
It's different from the
but it is in the orphanage. So like you can't have a hideout in.
No, but that's, but they can.
They do.
See, you keep asking the wrong questions. Where did the tunnels come? I don't know. Why are they roller skating around a post-apocalyptic desert?
It's true. Don't know. Why is most of the post-apocalyptic desert paved with trails?
We do need to tackle, and I was going to wait until the like getaway, but this is clearly the like least hospitable place to be on roller skates all the time.
They put them at a grave disadvantage. Yes.
There are rocks fucking everywhere.
And dirt everywhere else.
Like, okay, here's the thing. If you want to do the like extreme sports thing with this and you want them on roller skates, put like some cool like wheels on them that don't actually exist and aren't helpful to make it seem like, no, we have these futuristic all-terrain skates.
It feels like somebody had some ideas and that they got into production and realized they couldn't do those ideas.
Yeah.
And it just became, well, I guess they're just roller skates.
Right. Yeah.
And you can see the screenwriter getting really nervous thinking, wait, what? And he's imagining, or they're imagining like all the scenarios in which the kids are just roller skating across the desert. Well, humans haven't obviously figured out how to get around in this post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
Because the cars as well.
But the e-cars
one of them does split from like this weird tricycle thing into two dirt bikes, which I was immediately
very Batmobile-y.
Why didn't you just stick with the dirt bikes? They clearly were a better
seems
vehicle.
Like we could have just stuck with the dirt bikes. Okay, so Daniel takes the orb home, hides it, and eventually,
I mean, hides it's being generous.
It's in a box.
He makes sure it can breathe. Just in case, he says.
Right, yeah. By putting a hockey stick,
yep.
Yeah. Not a skate ball pole in it. No, it is a hockey stick.
Have you noticed how many times the sticks change? So it starts as those weird basket ones.
Oh,
it
does.
He has a hockey stick.
Okay.
And then when they leave, they are like polo sticks. Wow. They're like hockey sticks, but really short blade. Yeah. No
they
basket.
They didn't know what they wanted the sport to be. So they're just like, well, let's put a little bit of everything in.
Do you think there was just major delays and they actually just forgot which type of stick they were using?
What? It's totally possible. Or maybe they shot it and they're like, wait, maybe the skateball scene, like that, the actual thing was at the end. Like, how are they, like, they can't like fling the ball using these like short sticks. Maybe we need to get them a basket. Cause they do, the baskets do look pretty janky on the sticks.
Oh, yeah. So. The rest of the orphan crew is concerned about Daniel. They have just been punished for doing their unsanctioned skateball match.
And they got to dig 10 cubic meters of dirt.
Yes. And it is in that digging scene that Tara utters my favorite line of the entire film.
Okay.
Which is the indoctrinated scorpion dingus comes to like grope her basically, right. Oh, because man. She's like sweating in the pit.
It's
and she says, "Get out of here, you creature of filth." Which is like, that's the line. You creature of filth.
It's pretty good. She then also almost nuts him, but doesn't quite.
Right. All the while the teens are like aware, like, where's Daniel?
Right.
And they eventually find him in the hideout.
Well, they see him running.
Yeah. They see him. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He's safe.
Right. So yeah, they end up finding him in the hideout. Bodhi is revealed to the teens
and everybody calls it Bodhi and he has to correct them.
Yep.
It's Rabbit who calls Bodhi Bodhi. He's the one character that can't say
which, he's a joker
and he's and it might be racist.
Yeah. And Bodhi now performs what I believe is the second and final miracle.
I agree.
Which is he
vaguely picks up on their conversation about thunderstorms.
Yes. And creates rain indoors.
Inside. Yes.
Inside. And they all lose their shit.
Except no.
Metron doesn't. He refuses to believe that it's a miracle.
Also, they lose their shit in the weirdest way. They like start having a, like, they start like kicking it. And it's like, I'm just thinking, maybe I'm crazy. They have established multiple times that there is water rations. Like you only get a certain amount of water.
Yeah.
How is that? How even as teenagers, isn't your first reaction bottle this fucking shit? This is a miracle. Mm-hmm. Like find any container.
My thought was, this water level is rising rapidly.
They're like, gonna die.
Let's save the few possessions we have from getting ruined. Yeah. So thus is the entire explanation basically for why Bodhi is important.
Did you guys also wonder, like, they all leave this to go then like hang out with other people so that nobody would notice that they're drenched?
Yeah.
Okay. Just,
but am I missing anything? Because this is a central part of the movie, which is that the bad guys want Bodhi. But what does Bodhi do that the bad guys need to rein in?
Rein in.
Thank you.
I mean,
right? Like,
I was going to say, no, he creates rain, but he doesn't.
That's the thing. We don't know.
Okay, great. I was legitimately asking if I missed.
I don't think so.
The reasons, like, there's no real reason. This is just still a mysterious object that a kid found.
Right.
There's no history given.
It's an alien object.
Yeah. Yeah.
That much we know, and it was prophesied.
Right. Sure. By 1986 Burning Man people.
Right.
Yeah.
Chagani.
They go play. What's the fucking game called? Skateball.
Yeah,
they go play skateball
With Bodhi.
With Bodhi.
Which
is a glass ball. Just.
Can we talk about Rabbit's like Harlem Globetrotter scene?
I wish we wouldn't, but yeah, we need to.
Like, I was stunned. I was speechless.
Yeah.
He. My notes say no, 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 no. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Dances, beatbox,
yep.
beatboxes, and spins it like a basketball.
Yep. Yeah.
It's
totally.
Not great.
The size and shape of the orb also change
a
frequently.
Lot. Yes.
You know, like, is this a lacrosse ball size? Is this a basketball size? Does it change?
Well,
can it?
I think Bodhi can, because he can like make himself.
Oh, that's true. He does
a ton of like particles.
That's true, and he does like expand and contract.
Yeah. He's magic,
but he's generally around the size of like a magic
bowling ball
or a bowling ball. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bowling ball.
But I've realized that we've also gendered Bodhi. Is Bodhi a he?
Oh,
I want to say
that's on us.
I want to say he is.
Okay,
but maybe he isn't.
Maybe they are not. So meanwhile, Darstar is still just lurking around. He's like, he's seeing that the orb exists in the vicinity. He wants it for reasons.
Yeah. He
magical reasons.
It's not explained why he wants it, although they have like pointed out that he's a wizard.
Yeah. And it seems like if anybody is equipped
and
to
knows,
understand it, it might be him.
Wizards want balls. That's established in life canon.
Sure. Yeah.
Well,
this is a priori experience.
That's the, yeah. The thing about Darstar is that he's not a good or bad character.
No.
Like, his motives are really weird.
He's also entirely unnecessary for this entire movie. I don't know, man.
He's got cool hair.
He does have cool hair.
He's the link to the tribe.
And he has an owl familiar.
Don't disagree with any of these things. I think this movie does not need that character.
Well, okay. Once again...
This movie
is full of unnecessary things that are just not explained.
The first time I actually really felt like, oh, we just did a massive jump and like cut a bunch of scenes was this next part where Darstar steals Bodhi.
Yep.
Because like, it doesn't explain how Darstar finds their hidden refuge place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just knows. It also doesn't explain how Bodhi got back to. There's no connective tissue. It just like cuts hard, and he's stealing them.
That's actually the best way to describe this film. That there is no connective tissue.
None.
Yeah. It happened a lot.
Yes.
It's very jarring.
There's a late Buñuel film actually.
But the thing is like Buñuel at least like he's set up. That is things like nothing was ever set up. There was just this like. There was no setups for everything. It dropped you in the middle of everything and forced you to kind of like, okay, did we just lose like three scenes where they explain something?
That's what I really do think that a studio exec
just
must have
it.
Yes.
So
maybe.
Yeah. He steals Bodhi and leaves to go someplace.
Yep. Also, Daniel apparently follows him, but we're told that in exposition.
Right. And Darstar being the wise character, leaves on foot, not on skates.
Correct.
I find that to be very important.
And also, being the way, like, also was tracked and seen by everybody.
Yes.
Nobody missed that he left.
Right. It's said that Daniel has left.
Yep.
To track the orb down. And so then the rest of the group now has to track Daniel down. So we have the
most
cat
unnecessary
and mouse.
But they also have the most unnecessary voting scene.
Oh, and can we talk about that?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Because Metron just happened to have all the paper and pens in his pocket.
He is ready for silent ballot votes.
Yes, and nobody was surprised by it.
Notice.
Everyone was like, oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. But also, you're totally right. There is no conflict.
No.
There's this group is unanimous on everything.
Yes.
There's no conflict in the group. And they're just constantly like, well, is it all agreed? Yes.
Well, Metron changes his vote.
He does.
This is an important detail.
But it wouldn't have mattered. Do they have to do everything unanimously?
Jason says yes. Jason said that everything. Like, that was the thing. Because we're going to be leaving, we all have to be in agreement. It's not explained why.
Wait, did we skip the weird like free skate scene?
Yes.
Oh yeah, we did.
We have to talk
about
it.
Yeah, we do.
There's a weird.
They called it free skate.
The indoctrination free skate. Yeah. So Adult Swim is over. It's time for Free Skate. Yes. They've got screens everywhere.
It's like the Apple 1984 commercial.
That's exactly what I thought of. And there are screens showing police brutality.
It's terrifying.
It's really unnerving.
Yeah. To the extent that anything in this movie is successful, they had the like visual oppressor thing pretty on point.
Yeah.
I mean the like Nazi-esque outfits that the Protectorate wears.
The blue leather that guy's like rocking.
It's pretty good.
It is. It's like a baby blue.
And that costume, that one costume alone is like leaps and bounds better than like the main character's supposedly cool
100%.
Like arena costumes, which are just spray painted.
It's real bad.
Catcher's gear.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And I will say everybody in this movie is trying to make a good movie. Like all of these, I should say everybody acting is like, they are committing 100% to their terrible lines and terrible scenarios.
Yeah.
So they go after Daniel. Left.
Yeah.
Which their escape, they just skate away.
Just leave.
Yeah. Apparently you can just leave. It's frowned upon.
They leave and then they hockey stick the Star Wars-esque little camera that pops up.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah. They have a couple like signature moves that apparently they have figured out beforehand.
Yes.
There's like the
winging thing.
This is the one where they spin around.
Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah, that's happening right about now. So
I forgot about the spinning. Like, so the thing that does not. Did you guys? They're like, as soon as they started that, going like, you've clearly not thought this through, because at least one person's not going to be able to like any sort of centrifugal force.
But we cannot skip the montage. There's a montage prior to the bridge jumping scene.
Yeah. So
you're right.
So the orphanage finds out that these kids are gone. The e-police come in. They've printed off these like metal wanted posters.
Yeah.
There's like this there's this weird conflict that is set up, but of course has no payoff, where the leader of the orphanage is like maybe sympathetic to the kids in some way, or he believes that there's like a noble purpose in what he's doing. And then there's the e-police who are like, no, we're going to go punish these kids. That's what this is all about.
Right.
So the e-police go to chase the teens. So now we have Darstar with Bodhi.
Yep.
Then we have Daniel. Then we have the teens.
Yep.
And then we have the e-police.
Yes.
And this is when we get the chase and montage.
Yeah, that's that great song that I remember nothing about.
Was it written for this movie?
It must have been. Do we have any information on that?
I don't have any information on the music.
This might be a good time to also talk about, because
let's talk about music.
The movie starts with like a fairly 80s kind of like synth.
Oh yeah.
Like epic, a kind of sportsy actiony thing. And then
it kind of it has that Funeral for a Friend like fake
yes,
like brass instruments.
The brass is so bad.
It is very bad. And I wanted to note that, what's the director's name?
Alan something.
Alan Johnson.
When his name flashes on in the credits, that's when the trumpets come in really strong.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a very badass move.
I feel like that was definitely like when my name comes up.
Yes.
Blast them horns.
No, the soundtrack is very bad.
But then did you notice as soon as like they switched to any sort of the acting, it became like super romantic.
Yes.
And it was like not visually, it didn't like totally accurate.
There is a weird attempt in this movie to inject romance a couple of times, very unsuccessfully.
Very unsuccessfully.
So after this montage, and like we start to get into this like chase and journey, I mean, things go off the rails so quickly. It's just like everything is really in shambles. So we have the chase. We have a lot of weird vehicles splitting off and tumbling.
The timing of this doesn't make total sense, because Darstar gets to Burning Man, but then the e-police get to Burning Man, and then the kids show up? So there's two groups of e-police.
Yeah, the e-police are everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the bridge jump.
They had me shook.
It did.
Their first and only obstacle, apparently, to wearing skates in the desert is that a bridge is blown out.
Literally, there are meandering paths paved perfectly everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they want to go.
And so they need to get across the bridge. And so what they do is form a line very near the edge of the bridge and start to attempt to generate momentum by twirling around and
cyclone.
Yeah. And flinging the outermost person across the bridge.
My favorite part was that A, this doesn't work, but no. B, the favorite part is they were spinning. And as soon as they released the person, then they started accelerating
they're spinning so slowly. Like, there's not even an element of like the person on the end is like kind of uncontrollably it's so slow and like so rotating near the edge of the lip to the point where when there is just one person left, to your point earlier of like, what have you done? You've now stranded this person. He just skates backwards a little bit and is able to get speed off of a slight incline to just
strongest,
pop over.
He's the strongest skater.
Yeah. It's clearly.
I was surprised they didn't speed the film up a little.
Just a little bit.
Even that would have looked better.
Yes. Well, and I will argue with you, John, about I believe that Tara is the best skater, and she is not the last one to go over.
Oh, I guess I didn't notice who was actually the strongest.
No. They just because later in the film, they're like talking about the skating and they all agree that Tara is the like superior, fastest and best skater.
I do vaguely remember
when they think that she's dead and they're like, don't worry, she's the best skater of any of us or whatever. She got out of there.
Remember
she got out of there in a jiffy.
Oh, yes. Okay.
You know, like, okay. So the bridge jump happens.
Yeah.
And
at which point the protectorate, not protectorate, the e-police can't get over it.
It is the protectorate. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
E-police, eco-protectorate.
Somebody falls off a cliff.
Yeah. 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 They do. The vehicle.
There's a lot of like celebrating amongst our team of heroes. Like, oh, right.
Yeah.
We blew up a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. An evildoer is dead.
Yeah.
Sweet. And they book it now to our next location, which is
Tire Town.
Wait, did we skip the ant torture scene?
Oh, no, it's in there. No. Oh, it's in here somewhere because after we skipped the destruction of what's the fucking place called? We're calling it a Burning Man place.
Oh,
Is
Tire Town different than the other place?
So Darstar goes to Burning Man and it runs into that like polyamorous guy. Who's
so is Burning
like,
Man where they is? It, yeah. is Burning Man where the teens put on the costumes or do they put on the costumes in Tire Town?
They put it in Tire Town.
Okay.
Which is an S&M paradise.
Yes. It's rubber.
Got it.
It should be called Rubber
so,
Town.
So what needs
to
be
Tire Town. Okay. Got it.
What needs to be said about Burning Man Town?
Well, so in Burning Man Town, they meet up with Douche McPolyamory and he takes Darstar to the
right,
old man
catch
in
Darstar
the,
with it.
Like, I think they're in like some sort of like haunted mansion or not haunted house thing.
Yeah.
Which also, fucking weird haunted house. Anyway.
Yeah.
And there's like a 70-year-old guy there who doesn't do much. He just remembers old things.
Right.
And he explains what Bodai
is.
I had
already forgotten all of this.
Right. And then they go out and the Douche McPolyamory wants to sell Bodai because he thinks it'd be worth money.
Yep.
And the old guy's like, no, it's need to save the world. And Douche McPolyamory's like, I don't care about that. I want money. They go to sleep and Darstar in the middle of the night just like, and then starts running away.
Yeah.
And that's when the place is overrun by the e-police.
Right.
E-cops,
which is to your point, they take the douche guy back and then they do
torture him with weird
VR ants,
which is one of actually, I think the better parts of the movie.
It is, except then they explain it away that it's, you don't feel anything. It's just visual.
Exactly. They ruined it.
They ruined it. It was really good.
The effects of the ants and the way the ants disappeared.
Yep.
I mean, it's very similar. There's a certain similarity to something in Dune. Actually, there's a lot of similarities to Dune.
Yeah.
So it's not an original idea, but it did look good.
Yeah. And then they do the similar one with the obsessed guy
when they put his hand in it,
which Hitler also used.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which also looked really great.
Yeah, it was
like
great.
When his hand decomposed, it could have been
really good practical
industrial
effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the
ILM or
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then also I do like what, cause and that actually felt like it had more gravitas because when they ripped his hand out of it and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could have said like, it simulates it, you feel it, but it doesn't actually change it. But no, they just like, no, it's not real. It just looks like it. It was like, if it doesn't hurt, then yeah. why was that guy giving up all the secrets?
Yeah.
Whatever.
He hates ants.
He apparently does. Oh, that's right. Cause it projects your worst fear. Except then the guy's like, if you were worried about your hand decomposing, and then it chose that rather than whatever.
Right.
There was some logic break.
Jumping to Tire Town.
Yes.
Tire Town, that production set is incredible.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I was really impressed.
It's really wild.
There's like four like smokestacks made of tires that are like belching smoke.
It looked like something from Firefly.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Waterworld, honestly, like the production design from Waterworld.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the teens all have to go incognito, and so they get costumes. Mm-hmm. They buy outfits at the market.
Because of the wanted posters.
Because of the metal wanted posters.
But didn't they find the wanted poster after they were incognito?
Yeah. They're already incognito when they see the posters, I believe, for the first time. And so...
Oh, I forgot about the... Sorry.
So now...
The weird, like, Australian /...
The bounty hunters.
The bounty hunters guys.
We don't even need to talk about those guys.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just, there's like these weird MAGA goons that are tromping around.
Well, it's like, it was like they were trying to create a character that's like, this is going to be the memorable, like, comic relief guys, but they could not nail it.
Yeah. So Tire Town is where the Protectorate gets a hold of the orb in a climactic action scene.
Tire oil. They seem to be melting down tires to make God knows what.
Yes. This is also the location in which I believe Daniel transforms into Liza Minnelli.
What?
Daniel in his costume when there's a shot where he's like on the third story of something and it zooms up. I was like, oh, is this Liza Minnelli cameo?
Oh man, I don't remember that. That's incredible.
Like there's just this glamorous person on the roof spectating out at the crowd.
But Darkstar's here working.
Yeah.
And
he's trying to start a new life.
He's trying to start a new life, but he also doesn't really care that they're breaking into his van. I don't know. What is it? What is the thing that he has?
It's like a trailer.
Yeah. It's a weird trailer. But yeah, so he's given up the life on the lamb or whatever. And is just working now. He's just a guy who's working. and the teens come by and they're like, hey dude, you have that orb? And he's like, yeah, it's in that fucking trailer. I don't care anymore.
Try get 66.
It. Yeah. And so they just go get the orb.
They didn't sit and talk to the orb for a while in the van.
Right.
I'm calling it a van. I know it's a truck, but like.
Yeah.
The chase scene where the e-cops chase them.
Yep.
Is so lazy.
Oh.
Really bummed.
So lazy.
Like there's one point where Daniel, I think when they officially get Bodai.
Yeah.
He just drops it.
Yeah.
And everybody around him's like, just leave it. But they.
Right. They
literally within arm's length. He could have just picked it up.
People are like. He picks it, tapping it with their feet, and it's like, just reach down and pick up the backpack.
He picks it up at once and then drops it again. And then they're like, just leave it.
That actually really frustrated me.
It was agreed.
Yeah. There's no like going back even three steps, which might put you in danger. It's like, just bend over and pick up the bag.
It'd be so easy.
Leave.
All you have to do is have like them rip it out of your hands and run away. And then you got a wall. Like there's lots of.
Or it rolls down a hill.
Right.
Or, yeah. You can think of 10 different things.
Yeah.
They also then leave. Terra,
yes,
and don't notice, even though they then do possibly the worst getaway idea I've ever seen in my life.
This is unbelievable.
How long did it take for them to get loaded into those stupid? They each get into. Well, no, Jason puts
forget
them
about
into.
Bodai. We have to spend 15 minutes getting into these tires.
These like tractor tires.
It was pretty cool though, because there was one point where the camera was following the tire.
Yes.
I think that's why they did it.
100%.
It's
that was cool, a great effect.
But so they get in these tires, they roll down the hill, and then it pans back, and it's like you rolled like 15 feet down the hill. Like,
why? But then there's so many times when they like could have counted, didn't like, and they don't notice until they're like way the fuck away when they go like, where's Terra?
Mm-hmm. At which point they cut back and Tara is not really surrounded by flames, but mm-hmm. she's acting like she's surrounded by flames. Mm-hmm. At which point some arm grabs her.
Right. Mysterious arm. And then it pans back to the group and they're all just like, oh no, where's Tara? And then kaboom.
Oh, she's, yeah. Then the whole place blows.
The whole place okay. blows.
This says something. I didn't even notice the arm grabbing her, which is hilarious to me because
yeah, you
they clearly
that
did
obvious.
That. Yeah. It's just, oh, man. But I mean, but then yeah. when she shows up later, I was just like, what the hell? There was nothing connecting that. So that, I mean, I missed that. That was really,
I also like the arm grabbing her was through bars. Like it grabbed her through bars. Like there was no way that like the arm grabbing her does not help her.
I think right. I thought that was Darkstar.
That would make sense.
Right.
I didn't realize it.
What happened? Is that the end of Darkstar?
No.
No, it isn't. Because of course it's not. He joins them. But wasn't it, hold on. Did we miss the important owl scene?
We have glanced over the death of my favorite character, which is the owl.
Where it's just shot mercilessly.
And then, they find the dead owl and like, they're just like holding it up. We have to bury it.
Why bury it? The butthole who shot him like grabs it.
Yeah.
Like goes like, I got him.
Yeah.
And then grabs it and just like throws it in the air.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest celebration. Like no one, like if you're the E-Police, no one gives a shit about the owl.
No.
Like,
well, that was the mullet kid, the blonde mullet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So he just was being a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got something to prove.
I guess so.
Yeah. They killed the owl.
He tried to rape Tara. This guy sucks.
100%.
No, totally. But I just like from his boss's perspective, shooting the owl does nothing for your street cred. You know, like shooting one of the people you're looking for or shooting one of the natives that you clearly don't give a shit about. It was dumb
for a kids movie. Or
is this a kids movie?
Or for so whomever this movie is for?
Do we know who this movie is for? Because
I
like,
don't know.
It's half made for children and half made for adults. And they could not figure out who this is.
Whoever the audience is, there's a lot of like just kind of casually winging around this dead bird that I'm like, okay, let's put down the animal and let's move on.
Tara does mention that they buried the bird.
They did.
And Darkstar says, thank you.
Yeah. He thanks her.
Okay.
So now our teens minus Tara
yep.
get captured by the MAGA guys.
Right. And then do this weird, buggy thing back. Like they're hauling the horses.
Yeah.
Horse
they're like,
situation.
They're put into this chain gang and they're pulling this like chariot
it's a pickup,
thing with,
I think.
Yeah. With a couple people.
California plates.
Yeah. Yeah. The MAGA guys are all excited because they're going to get paid for, you know, getting these wanted teens. And then a mysterious person in like all white garb and a leaky
squirt gun, basically.
Well, no, I thought it was like a water skin that had a hole in it. And it's just kind of like just the tiniest stream of
water. It looks like somebody's pissing. Like it looks like somebody's just peeing like a stream of water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's got the owl under her arm and it's just peeing.
Yes. And like everybody's like half like horny for her or it, I should say.
Yeah, it's unclear.
Person.
Yeah, yeah.
Half
even
like,
though we obviously know
Tara.
Who this is.
And like just doing circles around them. It's the there's I found
like
this scene very weird.
Spraying them in the face like playfully, just a little like squirt here and there.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh shit, we can't get distracted, but you got more of that water.
And like,
she like gesticulates like
like, well, we can't leave them. Well, I did like the whole argument on what do we do with the people. It's like, just take them with you. continue what you're doing.
Yeah.
But just go around.
Yeah. They do. And they get set in this trap where a lot of white robed figures pop up with
guns.
Yeah. Right? Laser guns.
Okay.
Laser
yeah. And it's revealed that it is in fact Tara who has saved the day. we are told that the Eco Warriors,
which we saw in the indoctrination scene, that the Eco Warriors had a war with.
Yeah, well, and there's a mural
on
the cave that like shows them who all these people are. Importantly, shows Terra's tattoo that she's like one of the Eco Warriors, so she's born with that tattoo.
Also, this is the first point where we know that she has a tattoo.
Yes,
which is very obvious on her hand.
Yeah. So the Eco Warriors have saved Terra and thus the teens. The Eco Warriors are now retired.
Yeah, and they've just decided to put up their shoes.
Yeah, and we meet Terra's long lost father, Green Tree,
who's hitting on her the entire time, right?
Eco Jesus.
Wow.
Eco Jesus is trying to fuck his daughter.
He has a very uncomfortable presence.
I mean, he looks tell me if this is right. He looks like what's the guy from the Bee Gees? It looks like the guy from the Bee Gees. He's got like a shirt that's open down to his navel.
It's very like peace and love disco.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm one of the teens, I'm like, this is great. We got to get the fuck back out of here. Like, this is, we got to get back to just the
sex cult. This is a sex cult.
That's exactly what I thought.
Okay.
This is a sex cult.
Yeah. But it's like Shangri-La. Apparently the reason that they're in this like Shangri-La is there is a glacier in the desert,
right?
That has not melted.
Well, it's kind of slightly.
It's slowly melting.
Yeah, yeah.
It has melted just enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're growing shit and they have water. They can go swimming, which is, I guess, important because they go swimming together. Stink.
Also, once again, the kids see water. Instead of like drinking it,
yep,
they just splash around it in their dirty shoes, their roller skates.
Correct. Yeah.
Which really irritates
me. And the Eco Warriors are like, that's our drinking water. No one seems to be surprised that that's exactly my thought is like, I see a pool of clear water and I haven't drank. I've been thirsty my entire life.
Yeah.
I just start consuming it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
can we just skip over like essentially that like Terra puts up a fight and they leave to go.
I would love to breeze past the like Terra Jason thing where. Yeah,
they try to shoehorn in a romance. It doesn't work.
It really doesn't work. And they also try and shoehorn in another one of these like group conflicts, which is should we stay or should we go? Except everybody's just like, no, we should all go.
Yeah. And Terra apparently steals a map on a shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's blueprints on a very long piece of fabric.
To the dam.
To the, yeah, the, or like water storage building. It's unclear.
It's multiple things because the reason that this place exists apparently is that it's some sort of like mining, like gravitational pull laser weapon thing that this woman is doing research on. And the protector guy was like, can you think it could tear apart the orb of Lashaducius or something like that? It's some stupid ass name. It's not good, whatever it is. And she's like, you mean the thing that doesn't exist? And he's like, I think it exists. He's like, do you want to destroy it? Yes, I do. Okay, cool. And then that was earlier in the movie. And then, but it also happens to be where all the water is being secretly stored. Weird spoiler late in the game. Apparently the E-Protectorate has all the water.
Yeah, yeah. All the water that was on the planet still exists. It's just behind this wall.
It's not an ecological disaster. We're just hoarding it.
Yeah. Also, I guess it should be said that this entire time we're flashing back to Bodai's weird torture scenes.
Right. Where he's like whining.
He cries.
He cries.
Made me very uncomfortable.
It was not good.
Yeah.
And he's getting more like... that's accurate.
It really...
Yeah.
Got to me.
Yeah. I mean, and so the thing is they're trying to destroy it, but also torture it. Like they could just destroy it presumably, but there is all of this
trying to
death.
I think they're trying to destroy it. Like, I think, cause they said that they're like working through its shell.
Yeah.
And then they also have the jankiest robot from Lost in Space
that enjoys not only does he know how to do it, he enjoys it.
He's been programmed for his job. Yeah.
But he can't really like, move well.
There's also the weird, like, they imply there's a sex scene that we don't get to see between the lady and the e-cop.
Oh, I missed that.
She's like, I'll make sure you aren't bored. She kind of rubs his chest. Yeah, and I was. Oh. It would have been a better movie if they had just put some sex scenes in.
Sure. Well, let's see that rather than Jason and Terra.
100%. I believe that one. I don't believe Jason and Tara
yeah.
have anything.
Yeah. So the teens are going to leave. They're going to break into the water storage building where Bodhi's being held. They get into the building by
pole vaulting.
Pole vaulting.
What's his name? MODOK?
Metron?
Metron. Yeah.
Metron yeah. does it. Is anybody else concerned about the electrical systems in every single one of these places? Because, like, they barely flip a breaker and everything's sparking like mad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so he pole vaults in and then opens the gate so that other people can come in. And Daniel, like, is like, this is the not close call, close call, yeah. where it's just like
he's running.
There's 8 feet of space for him, and he yeah. just kind of goes like, "Whoop!"
Yeah, he's through it.
Not nail bitey at all.
No, but they're concerned.
They are concerned.
There's some major conflict,
and then they have to outrun, or in their case, outskate. The dogs
robot
with
dogs.
Flashlights on their heads.
Robot dogs!
Now, are
Which
these
are
dogs
Doberman
supposed
pinchers?
To yes. be robots? Or think, are they just dogs with flashlights on their heads?
I think they're robotic-controlled dogs.
They're supposed to be robots, but they're not.
I think they are dogs, but I think they're like cyborg dogs.
Well, they are. Okay.
They are
definitely dogs.
Cyborg dogs.
I think they are supposed to be robotic dogs.
Okay, okay.
Like, they're robot-enhanced.
Okay, because
not just flashlight.
The thing to me is just like... A dog does not need a flashlight.
No.
There's no reason, robot or no, you don't need to. A flashlight on top of a dog's head is not an upgrade.
I think they had radios, too.
And they, unlike Daniel, were just jamming out to the 100%. Hits of 1989.
Yeah, they're just blasting Sammy Hagar. Yeah.
Like or, like Daniel, all the dogs are deaf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just like to think that maybe the dogs are radioing each other.
Over.
Over.
That would have been really funny.
John, one of the things we've noticed in doing this multiple times is we think that we can make better versions of all these movies. So far, there hasn't been many of the movies we'd have liked that we're like, we could make this movie better.
We absolutely could make a better Solar Babies.
100%.
Solar Men.
Solar teens,
solar adults,
solar geriatrics.
There is
a whole franchise.
Yeah,
there is one part in this climactic scene where they say Jason the whip, and they use the whip again.
I guess right. It does come back
in the destruction area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, they also like try to climb a ladder in skates.
This is just that thing where like skates do not help in any scenario,
right?
And again, this is like your final climactic scene.
Oh, by the way,
skateball should come into play
at
here,
some point.
Right? Like you're the good skateball team.
Yeah, you grab Bodhi with a stick and you fling him.
Exactly. Why are we not flinging Bodhi in a skateball way?
Also, my favorite. You had your favorite line. My favorite line was the hello when they jump the guard when they get out of the so they climb out of the ladder thing and the guard's like, "Hey guy, who are you? And like, what are you doing here?" And like, "Hello." It was the funniest hello.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think the whip.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably originally in their minds
that was
a move that they used on the
sure.
court.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They just didn't connect the dots.
Yeah, that's their knuckle puck.
Yes.
Or flying V.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so like
the Mighty Ducks is a remake of this, right?
And the like, this is your climactic scene and it is very anticlimactic.
Yes.
The evil lady's death was pretty cool.
Yes.
She gets like electrocuted on the machine.
Yep.
Yes. There's a lot of,
I think
his death is pretty good too.
Maybe that's him.
No, he gets torn up. The bad guy gets torn apart by the robot.
It grabs his arm.
Oh, they do use.
And the,
they use the hockey sticks to knock out the robot's eyes.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then like, yeah. And then he dies in like the Hitler Youth's arms.
Yes.
Like, oh no, my leader.
Yes. The Hitler Youth guy gets away, right?
I think so. That sets up the sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also,
we should make
the sequel,
the Solar Baby sequel,
Solar Children,
or Scorpions, where Scorpions are the heroes and the Solar Babies are the bad guys.
He's learned his lesson.
Yeah. Because that's in right now, right? Like you get the story from the villain's perspective.
In a world run by water.
Uh-huh.
The solar babies brought us the rains. Scorpions are gonna make sure the heat comes back. Oh my gosh.
You have a good trailer voice.
Thank you. Moral of the story is they recover Bodhi.
Yeah. And then
that's literally the moral of the story.
But in the process of recovering him, they whack a couple of eyes, and that seems to cause a cascading destruction of the whole facility.
And we are talking catastrophic failure of a device which is holding all of the world's water reserves.
All of the water. With the exception of the iceberg.
Yeah, right.
In Shangri-La.
Any hidden icebergs. They couldn't get any of those. But and we are to believe that now all of the water is just going to go right back to where it should be and was
and
in
create,
the first place.
Create oceans.
Yeah. Yeah. It breaks like the as everything's destroyed. By the way, the Hitler Youth. I don't know if you guys got a kick out of this, like as the facility is falling apart, they kept showing shot after shot of the Hitler Youth guy coming around corners or like coming into like doorways and looking in and observing it and then moving on. And it was just like, he kept like poking his head around and like him like looking through a door and everything like breaking. And then he it cuts back to him and he like keeps going down the hallway. And then he does it like three or four times where he sticks his head in and he's like, well, that department's broken. So funny.
There's a metaphor there. I think.
Yeah. And so the Bodhi now kind of dematerializes, and I mean,
it flies to space.
Yeah, I guess. Does it? Like, see, where does it go?
I thought maybe Bodhi kind of like a biblical thing, like becomes. Like he goes into them.
Right.
Like,
that's what I was thinking too.
Like he ascends and then.
I got a very Jesus-y thing from this.
You mean the whole thing or just like.
No, just like this ending felt like, oh, like it was one of those. Like I had the me in middle school listening to a band and being like, oh, wait a minute, what? Oh, there's a Christian band.
It's bait and switch.
That's kind of.
Solar Babies is a bait and switch.
Yeah.
Solar Babies is POD.
Oh, Solar Babies with a POD soundtrack? Woo!
We could probably make that happen.
Guys, I think we should need to make Solar Children.
Boom! Here comes the boom! Right? Ready or not? I mean, it would have been a better movie.
That'd be amazing.
Bodhi loves you now!
Oh, Youth of the Nation. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
100%.
Bodhi does spark the first thunderstorm that the kids have ever seen.
No, does Bodhi cause that, or does the weird spray from the dam release?
Yeah, that was confusing to me. I don't know.
Oh, I got the Bodhi did it.
That would make sense, but it seems like the spray is shooting
because
up.
The evidence of things that I know that it can do right, are restore hearing and create a storm.
Then if this is the thing, then why do we need the reserves? Why doesn't Bodhi just like make it rain?
Once again, you're asking the wrong question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. So yeah, he either goes to space or to heaven or is just among
he
us.
He shoots off in a reverse, like
comet.
Yeah.
Right. But then they all join hands and do the uncomfortable laugh thing.
And the purple
one by
miasma.
One, they each go like,
it's so true.
Do you think,
but then we get. Like,
do you think that was they were directed to do that, or do you think they were all actually just kind of uncomfortable?
Like, yes,
I'm touching a girl.
It's so fucking awkward. And then it fades to black, and the credits start, and they fade up on this video scene or like film thing afterwards.
Yep,
in a utopia.
Yep.
By the beach somewhere. Yep.
Pretty sexy.
They're like, going
very sexy.
Yeah, this is their transition silhouettes. Into 90210. Yeah. Like,
and it's like there was part of me like, are they skinny dipping?
Yeah, who knows? Because you just get the silhouettes kind of.
Yeah, but Daniel's there.
No, they're skinny dipping.
But Daniel's there.
Daniel's there.
Darstar is there.
Darstar
fucks. Let's be clear. Darstar definitely has like he's got. I don't even like blowjobs energy.
Yeah.
Earlier we had a conversation about this. I knew this guy. I didn't know this guy. I was at a coffee shop where this guy was like surrounded by women and he was wearing like all linen. And I overheard him say, I don't even like blowjobs.
Here?
No, this is in college.
LA. Oh, man.
Probably some witty.
And finally, the little cherry on top.
is that Jason and Tara kiss.
Why? But they've been trying to kiss this whole time.
Why?
They kiss earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
But not like, would you say it's a successful kiss?
No. Well, hard to say. It's all silhouetted. So,
they connected.
How do you know it's Jason?
It's true.
It could have been Tug. Cause I had a hard time telling the difference between Jason and Tug in a lot of scenes.
That's very, very true. Yeah. In establishing the archetypes, they did get two of the same guys. Yeah. The treatment of this film was, pitched as the Little Rascals of the future.
That's not true.
What?
And which is like a massive failure. Like in no way.
There's a girl in it. It's like immediately disqualified.
But like Little Rascals is funny.
Yes.
You have very strong archetypal characters.
Were the characters supposed to be like all Daniel's age?
Well, see, now that I don't know. Anyways, actually, definitely, if that's the metric, this movie fails.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a bit that I saw in the files that I find particularly ironic is that one of the many reasons why this production was consistently delayed is that they were plagued by unexpected heavy rains in filming.
Wow.
Among other like disagreements in the production.
Yeah, like this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
Just some producer going, what are we doing?
I would like to leave 1986. Are there any final thoughts that you have about the movie that we didn't get to? Did you like this movie? Did you hate this movie? What?
I did not like this movie at all.
I did not enjoy this movie. I was hoping that I would.
Mm-hmm.
Because I assume, Nick, that you would hate this movie on principle.
And you wanted to come in strong as a Stan.
And I cannot.
I mean,
well, that's good.
That's what makes it so bad, is that it's not, there really is nothing lovable about it.
No.
Yeah.
Even in its badness.
And there are moments that, like we said, there's better movies here. Like there's at least one or two good movies here.
Well, and that's part of like, I mean, you know, you talked about Dune, Thunderdome had just come out a year earlier and like it's just like, it's so unoriginal. The dialogue in this movie is horrible. Yeah. It like you were saying,
it's real bad.
The acting isn't terrible for a movie like this.
They're trying.
But honestly, like the writing is just so bad. Like you're asking people to work with nothing.
The sphere of lack of Lucadugal or whatever the fuck it's called. Like it's just poor.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we should get out of here. John, I really, really hope that we either all get to our home.
The last time we did this,
the present,
when we did the jump, Evie disappeared.
Yeah, but
so we may lose.
Should we get separated? I want to thank you for, I guess, making our theme song.
Yeah,
you're welcome
to our podcast, which I guess is called "None of This Is Real."
That makes sense.
Ooh,
is that a clue? Like this is just like, are we in like some sort of VR thing?
I don't know. I'll let you sleuth that out.
What do you else have to do?
I was thinking, could I stay?
Yeah. I mean, like we'd love for you to stay, but there's no guarantee that that's going to happen.
I mean, like, can I just, you guys keep going and I'm just going to stay in 1986.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
you just leave. I mean, you could probably walk out that door and it would still be 1986.
That's what I mean. I just think this is really interesting for me and I've been needing a reset, so I might just...
Oh.
I just might live in 1986.
You don't need my permission.
Yeah, man, you're your own person.
Well, it's been nice knowing you.
We'll look for you the next time we're in 1986, maybe 1987.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It could be that you end up meeting me again, just in my new life. I was thinking I could become myself, my own
great
godfather or something.
You know what, John? I wish you the best in your new life. This is a real Darstar moment.
Yeah.
John, goodbye.
Goodbye. Good luck, man.
Thank you, guys.
Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
And we should try and leave.
Yeah, I guess we have to explain to John's family what happened.
Oof.
All right. Computer?
Did we do it?
One moment. Processing. Memory quality within acceptable guidelines. Please stand by as temporal transport is initiated in 3, 2, 1.
Well, we are a few weeks in the future and then 10 years in the past. It is December 30th, 1976.
Oh, my parents just got married.
This concludes today's adventure. None of This is Real is brought to you by Adam Farnsworth, Nick Rennes, and a sentient time machine. Our theme song, 21st Century Coyote, and our outro music, Pirates of the Known Dinghy, were written and performed by John Van Dusen. Visit noneofthisisreal.com for more information on the podcast. Also, follow at NOTIRPOD on Instagram and Twitter. That's NOTIRPOD. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere fine podcasts are sold. Podcasts, it's radio for millennials. Our behind-the-scenes podcast, Some of This is Real, is available exclusively by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/notirpod. Thank you for listening, and remember, none of this is real.
Sonic Bazaar.